Let's take our Bibles and go to Philippians chapter number 3. And here at Crossroads, we really desire to give you the sermon handout so that you can not only learn the Bible, but we want to go out and we want to live the Bible. We want to go out and live what we're learning. We want to live what we're learning at home in the context of our relationships, friendships, marriage, with our children, at work, in the neighborhood, at school, at college. We want to practice what we're learning. So we give you the handout to take home with you so you can take the message home with you every Sunday. Typically here at Crossroads, we go through books of the Bible and we just take it as it comes. We are going through the book of Acts right now on Sunday mornings, going through the life of the Apostle Paul. Well, Paul wrote the book of Philippians. I'm just taking a couple of weeks off from that series to challenge you with the brand new year, 2013. And we started talking last Sunday about allowing ourselves to be stretched spiritually. You know, we talk about, man, that work, my new job is really stretching me. Or we say, man, this college class is really stretching me. And what we mean is that it's taking us out of our comfort zone. And we're learning and we're growing in ways that we could have never imagined. The question that I posed for you last week is, are you being taken out of your comfort zone spiritually in your walk with Jesus Christ? Are you growing in your walk with Jesus Christ? Can you see changes happening in your life? Can you see that relationship with Him getting sweeter, getting deeper, growing? He wants that relationship with you. Coming to church is great. And you know, doing things like, you know, services are great. But He wants that daily relationship with you. And so we began to talk about this. You know, Paul, who wrote this, he was an apostle, but man, he was a guy that was on a mission. He wanted to reach people with the gospel. And part, I think the secret to Paul's zeal and his ever-growing excitement about the things of God is found in Philippians 3, verse 13. Will you look at it with me? Philippians 3, verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived, you know. He said, but this one thing I do. And then notice, he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth. Say that with me. Reaching forth. You know what that phrase means if you look it up? It means to stretch oneself forward. According to the Bible and according to the secret of Paul here, is that God wants us to be stretching ourselves spiritually in our Christian walk and as a church family. It's very easy to get stuck into a spiritual rut. It's easy to get locked into a spiritual comfort zone to where we're not growing anymore. And this can happen individually, and it can also happen to churches. But I submit to you that we cannot allow this to happen. Would you guys agree with me that in the year 2013, Satan, the devil, is still trying to attack and destroy families and marriages and Christian kids and teenagers and churches? Is he still at it, folks, huh? He's full throttle. So we cannot afford to let up off the throttle and think that we can coast to glory. We have got to keep growing. We got to keep stretching ourselves spiritually, individually, and as a church. And so last week, I gave you part one of how we can do that. And we're going through Philippians 3. And the first thing we looked at was this, is that if we're going to stretch ourselves spiritually and grow, be taken out of our comfort zone, we got to refuse to trust in our fleshly power. In other words, you're not going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, grit your teeth, and grow in the Lord. It doesn't happen that way. That's going to last a day, maybe 2 days, maybe a week, you know, but that's not how it's going to happen. You cannot trust in your fleshly power. What was the song that we sung earlier? I can do all things, but what's the next two words? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Who strengthens us to stretch ourselves spiritually? It's Christ. Which brings me to my second point. Look in your handout. And that is that our passion, if we're going to be stretched, Our passion must be for a person, Jesus Christ. You have to really desire to want to grow in your relationship, in your walk with Christ. You cannot have a surface relationship. You got to want, you got to desire, you got to yearn for a relationship, a communion with Christ that changes the person that you are at home, changes the person you are at work, changes the person that you are Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, changes the person that you are on the ball team, at the gym, at the store, at the restaurant. We've got to want a relationship with Christ. Our passion has to be to know Him. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Philippians 3:10. Do y'all see what Paul's passion was? He said, say it with me up to the comma. You ready? That I may know Him. He wanted to know Christ. He wasn't satisfied with having met Christ. He said, I want to know Him. I want to have a deep, intimate fellowship and communion with Christ. And that needs to be our desire in 2013 if we're going to grow. If we're going to be stretched, we've got to want to know Christ. But number three, the third thing I want to give you, and this is new territory, so write this in your handout. If we're going to be stretched spiritually, number three, we have to learn from the past, but don't live in it. Learn from the past, but don't live in it. How many of y'all have ever been high up on a ladder? Raise your hand. You ever been high up on a ladder? Did you like it? I hate heights. I cannot stand heights. How many of y'all have ever climbed the lighthouse at Ponce Inlet? You ever went to the top of the lighthouse? A lot of people in the 930 do. I have. You go up that winding staircase all the way up to the top. You know, my philosophy, I like my feet to be on the ground. How about you? I claim as my life verse where Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. And so I just soon stay low to the ground, you know. But I climbed the lighthouse. Everybody was doing it in the family, and I climbed the lighthouse to the top. And man, I don't know about you, that some people, they love heights. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. I have other words to describe it. And when I got to the top of the lighthouse, I'm like, wow, cool. Let's go. You know, and as I'm going up that winding staircase, you know, what do people say when you're up high? People that are on the ground or they're behind you, they say, don't look down. Don't look down. Don't look down. Don't look back. Well, I want you to look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now look at this. What's the next word? Forgetting what? Those things which are what? Behind. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. You are never going to be stretched spiritually. Listen to me. Listen to me, church. Until you decide, I'm going to forget the things that are behind. Think about this. In your handout it says, you cannot know someone in the present if your heart is dwelling on the past. I got to tell you, married couples really struggle with this. Married couples really struggle with this principle because we, you know, married couples that cannot get past the past, what happens is that past ends up destroying them. Living in the past kills your future and it makes the present miserable. Living in the past just makes the present very, very miserable. And there are couples that things have happened in the past that have hurt them and they cannot seem to get over it. They keep drudging it up. They keep bringing it up. And there's a lot of times what happens is events in the past, there's times when married couples will keep it that event almost like a trump card in their pocket. And whenever things come up, they'll bring out that trump card of that event in the past and they'll throw that thing back up. And I'm telling you, if you can't get past the past, it will threaten to destroy. You've heard me say this before, but it's so true, and it's just so true about the guy who was telling his friend. He said, man, I don't know what to do. And he said, what's wrong? He said, every time me and my wife get in a fight, she gets historical. And the guy said, don't you mean hysterical? He said, no, I mean historical. She's always bringing up the past. Historical. And you know, that's so true of so many people. They just can't get past the past. And I'm telling you, it's why a lot of people don't grow in their relationship with Christ. It's not only true in marriage. I mean, God used our relationship with Christ to be symbolized by marriage relationship. Just as you become one with your spouse, the Bible says you become one with Jesus Christ. And just like the past will kill your present in marriage, the past will also kill your present in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot allow past sins and past failures and past mistakes to continually haunt you. The guy who wrote this, the Apostle Paul, man, he had lots of regrets from his past. He talked about, in a scripture, he talked about things that I did ignorantly in unbelief. We can all associate with that. Things I did ignorantly in unbelief. He talks about how he was a blasphemer. He was a violent and abusive man. Not only that, He was very full of himself in the past. He was very prideful about his fleshly achievements, full of pride. He talks about that in this chapter. And all the achievements he had attained. But when he met Christ and he began to know Christ, he said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before, that are out in front of me. In your handout it says this, get this statement. Knowing Christ does not change the past, but it changes the meaning of the past. You know, the Apostle Paul who wrote this, he had a lot of baggage that he carried from his past. You know, he had a lot of baggage that he carried. And man, we all have baggage. How many of y'all have a past? Raise your hand if you have a past. I didn't say good or bad. I just said, do you have a past? All right. I'm sure all of us in here maybe have things that we're proud of and things that we're not so proud of. And, you know, Paul's past could have potentially weighed him down and even destroyed him. Instead, he used his past as a motivation and a catalyst for godly change in his life. The events from Paul's past didn't change, but Paul's understanding of those events changed. You see, he got saved and he began to grow spiritually. That's what he means when he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Look, folks, that doesn't mean that it's wiped from your memory. We're human. We're human. It's not possible. Man, there are things that we wish we could wipe from our mind about our past, but we can't. We're human. So what does he mean when he says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind? Doesn't mean it's wiped from his memory. We know that because he still wrote about those things. What he meant when he said forgetting about them is, in your handout it says, biblically, that means that we are no longer influenced or affected by those past events in a negative way. We're no longer affected or influenced by those in a negative way. I got to confess to you right now that at the present, all of you out there are one big blur. There are no vibrant colors. There are no smiles that I see. No friendly faces. Y'all look like one just big just mush. You know why? I don't have these on. Now, if I put these on and I look through the lens of these glasses, I'm looking at the same thing I was just looking at. But y'all look good. Vibrancy, smiles, friendly faces. I can see you so good and so clear. What was blurry is now clear. And in the same way, the past doesn't change. It is what it is. But you see, when we're looking through the lens of our flesh, it's blurry and it's ugly and you can't make any sense out of it. Kind of like this. But then when you look at your past through the lens of Christ, when you look at the past through the lens of who God has made you in Christ, Man, it changes the way those things look. The events don't change, but the meaning changes. And now you begin to see it clear, and you begin to get it in focus. Too many Christians live in bondage to the past. And they live with regrets, and they live with guilt. And a lot of times people live with bitterness over past events. And I'm going to tell you right now, what happens is, when you do that, when you live in the past and you're constantly drudging up the past, in your handout, it says this impedes your ability to grow and be stretched. It impedes your ability to grow and be stretched. It's like somebody told me recently they were going to run a 5K race. And that's a long ways, right? A 5K. Can you imagine if they showed up to run the race? And they had on a backpack full of stuff, and they had some of their suitcases and luggage, and they came in like this. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to run the race. All right, let me go to the start line. Ready for the gun. And they got baggage, and they got backpacks, and they got all this stuff. And they're going to try to run a 5K with all this baggage. How you think that'd work out? Not too good, huh? Could I submit to you? There are people that are trying to run the Christian race carrying all the baggage from the past. And it is weighing them down. It's okay to learn from the past. Hey, it's okay to learn from the past, but you can't live in it. I can tell you from experience, look, are there hurts from my past? Do you think there are? Absolutely. Are there scars in me from the past, some of my own doing, and then maybe scars that other people did to me? Yeah, absolutely. Were there pain? Do you think there was any pain in 2012 last year? Yes or no? Absolutely. But am I going to live in those events? Am I going to rehash them? Am I going to get bitter over them? Am I going to dwell on them? Not for a second. Man, I am moving forward. Folks, there is too much to do for Jesus to get bogged down in all that. There's just too much to do. You can live in the past, and you can continue to dig up bad memories and painful events if you want to, but you need to understand two facts about that. When you can dig it up if you want to, but there's two things you need to understand. Number one in your handout, it's in your handout. Number one, you can dig it up, but it will do nothing to change the past. It will do nothing to change it. You know, the past is what it is. Hey, do you know what you can change about the events of 2012? You know what you can change about everything that happened last year? Nothing. Nothing. It's in the books. It's history. It's past. There's nothing you can do to change that. But yet, when we look at it through the lens of Christ, we can view the meaning of those events much differently. Christ can change the meaning of those things. I know for me personally, there were things that happened last year and in the past that have served to accomplish incredible good in my life, good for me personally, good for my family, good for our church. So, you know, it's, again, you can't change it. All you can do is learn from it. The second thing that I want to give you is this. You can dig up the past, but number two, it will hinder you in knowing Christ in the present. You dig up the past, it's going to hinder you in knowing Christ in the present and growing spiritually. The past is what you through Christ make of it. The past is what you through Christ make of it. And by the way, let me just say this. Up to this point, I have applied this to your life, my life personally, our marriages, and so forth. But allow me for a moment to apply this principle about learning from the past but not living in it. Allow me for a moment, please, to apply this to us corporately as a church family. I did this in the 9:30 service, and I want to do it again. You know, as you look back at 2012... and you say, well, man, there was some setbacks, and there was some hurts, and maybe there were some disappointments. Absolutely. You're going to experience that in the context of the church. You know why? Here's why. A church is just like an individual family. A church is like a church is a family. Now let me ask you something to illustrate what I'm saying. When I talk about, you know, adversities and bad things and hurts and disappointments, is there anybody in here that you could honestly say that in 2012, when you think in the context of your whole family, there wasn't one hurt, there wasn't one disappointment all of last year, there was never a cross word between you or anyone else in your family. There was never a fight, never a disagreement, never a harsh word. There were no hurts, no disappointments. Everything you touched turned to gold, and it was an absolutely perfect year with not one hitch. Anybody have that last year? I don't see a hand. If I did see a hand, I was going to hang out more with you. Now, if you had hurts and disappointments in your family, if there were things that just didn't always go just perfect, just the way you wanted it, then let me ask you a question. Do you think there's going to be setbacks and disappointments in our church family? A church is a family. Absolutely. Just like a family, with a church, there's good times, there's bad times. There's blessings and there's hurts. That's just life. That's any church. It's a family. The question is, are we going to live in those events? Are we going to allow them to drag us down? Not on your life. Not on your life. Let me ask you this. Were there blessings to us as a church family in 2012? We saw them last week. We brought them up on the screen. There were tons of them. I mean, it was amazing what God did last year. We broke some new ground in so many areas that there were victories that were phenomenal for our church family. Some incredible, wonderful accomplishments. But you know what? Just as we are not going to sit around crying over the painful past, we likewise aren't going to sit around bragging about our victories in the past. What we're going to do is we're going to acknowledge them. We're going to recognize they're there. We're going to learn from them. And then we're going to move on for Jesus Christ. Isn't it an exciting new year, church? Amen. And you know, I wanted to just talk about this thing of pressing forward. I wanted to share with you, if I could on the screen, just some of the goals, some of the things that's going on that we would love to see the Lord do for us as a church family this year. We'll begin with outreach. One of the things that is a real burden of some of our staff is that we want to plan, you know, Walk Through Bethlehem's great. We had people come to the hospitality room this morning that were here because of Walk Through Bethlehem. And they had tears in their eyes, you know, talking about how the service touched them today and how they needed it. How'd you hear about it? We came to Walk Through Bethlehem a few weeks ago. That's why they were here today. And we have that every week. And that's great. But we want to have more events all year long to reach out to our community. One of the things we want to do is plan and implement a fall festival outreach. Another thing we want to do is devise an organized sports outreach program to reach families in our community. Right now, we've got basketball outreach going on Tuesday night. We want an entire sports outreach program. And this year, we want to kind of lay the framework for what is this going to be? What's it going to look like? What's our goals going to be? You know, and so forth. Another thing we want to do this year is implement a more aggressive and organized visitation ministry. Brother Shannon, Dan, wants to take some of the things that we do for Walk Through Bethlehem and implement those all year long. And we'll be sharing that with you in the next month or two. Another thing we want to do is we want to begin working on what we call a Walk Through Jerusalem script. We found out there are churches that are already doing a Walk Through Jerusalem. Of course, we've already got Bethlehem, and we would retain that, but then also do a Walk Through Jerusalem and begin a preparation for a huge Easter outreach to our community next year in 2014. So this year we want to kind of lay the framework and the groundwork for that. Another thing, some of you are all excited. You're like, I get to wear my costume two times a year. Working with the city of South Daytona, we want to implement a community outreach through serving those in need. And I'm glad to tell you, this is already happening. We've just started this through Brother John Schoenwetter and Pastor Rob, and it's awesome. We want to reignite our WIN ministry, which reaches new residents in our community. Walk Through Bethlehem. One of my goals for that this year is I'd like to see 100 new volunteers that have never served before in Walk Through Bethlehem step up to the plate and get involved in some way in Walk Through Bethlehem this year. Another thing is Christmas Eve services. We want to return to those this year and reach lost people. Ministries, discipleship. We want to hold our first parenting conference in a couple weeks to equip parents to impact their children. We want to develop 5 new Crossroads curriculum series this year for our life groups. We want to develop and implement 3 new courses for our Bible Institute and graduate 15 new graduates from our Bible Institute. Now, we've got 23 graduates from our Bible Institute. We want to almost double that this year with 15 more graduates. When we talk about the building and grounds that God's given us here at 1851 South Clyde Morris Boulevard, what do we want to see the Lord do this year? Well, number one, we want to pave the north side grass parking lot. We've already talked about this. We had a Christmas offering, which we've still had money coming in for that. It's about around $25,000 now that have come in for that since Christmas time. And we want to pave the north side over here to match the south side. Another thing we want to do is enhance the lobby of our life building to make it more inviting, more fellowship friendly. Another thing we want to do is repave all the paved parking. It's due, and we've got to get, and that's in the budget. We've got to get that done. Another thing in the budget we put this year, install all new outdoor parking lots for the entire property because they're going on 20, 25 years old. This is exciting. As you know, we've got stuff this way, this way, this way. We've got a 10-acre lot over here that's empty, and we would like to begin negotiations on possibly purchasing that 10 acres next to us for future expansion. And so we talked to the pastors and deacons about that last Sunday night, and they were all very excited about that. Of course, we'll come to the church, you know, all along the way on that. We could never do that without church approval, but I just wanted you to know to be praying about that, thinking about that. Other goals is we want to add 3 new deacons in 2013, which we've already done. Pray for 100 souls to trust Christ directly through ministries here on the property. And then pray for 80 new families to be added to our church family. Folks, we want to be a church for others. We don't want to be this exclusive, reclusive group. Man, we want to reach people and we want to welcome new people into our church family. Amen, Crossroads. And that's what we want this year. Let me give you the last point, and that's this. If we're going to stretch ourselves spiritually, number 4, we must rise above our enemies. Paul was determined he was going to press forward, but he had enemies. Look at verse 17, Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. There were people who had their own agenda, and it was all about them. Do you think there's anyone like that in 2013? And in your handout it says they are not team players, but they are me players. And I want to warn you of something, church. Listen to me. There are people like this that will creep into your life personally. And they will try to drag you down. And they'll try to keep you from growing. They'll try to keep you from being stretched spiritually. They want to shackle you to the past. They want to always talk about the past. And they want to shackle you to the past. And they literally will suck the spiritual life right out of you. People like this can creep into churches and they'll drain the church of its life and drain the church of its vitality if we allow them to do so. They become a drag on the team. And that's why Paul said they're enemies of the cross. When Paul said they're enemies of the cross, that doesn't mean they didn't believe in Jesus. That doesn't mean they didn't believe in the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection even of Christ. When he said they're enemies of the cross, he said that because their lives, their everyday lives, contradicted what the cross is all about. What is the cross all about? It's about a denial of self, humility, submission. You got to determine, I'm going to rise above any enemies that would try to keep me from being stretched spiritually in my walk with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let them drag me down. I'm not going to let them hinder me and impede me from growing. Paul was pressing toward the mark. Look at verse 14. He said, I press toward the mark. Whew. I like that. I press toward the mark, the goal, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Man, Paul said the ultimate prize is going to be when I receive my high calling. That is my heavenly invitation into the presence of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20. Talking about that high calling. Look at verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Can you imagine, church, when Jesus Christ comes back for us at the rapture, at the catching away? Paul said He's going to change these vile bodies. In our flesh dwells the law of sin right now. And He's going to take these vile bodies and we're going to get a body like Jesus Christ. Man, you talk about a spiritual facelift. You talk about spiritual liposuction or whatever that is. Liposuction. I don't know what they call it. But anyway. Woo! Glory! We're going to get a new body. Can I get an amen? Like Jesus's, one that will function out there in the heavenly realm in the ages to come as we serve our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we carry on the business of heaven. We're going to have a heavenly body that will function out there. He's going to change these bodies. Wow. I want you to imagine, here's the idea of the text. Imagine for a moment that this right here, the beginning of this rail, it represents the rapture, the return of Christ in the clouds where He catches away His children. Imagine this represents the rapture. Paul, his attitude, his thinking was, I want to stretch. I want to reach forth. And I want to keep growing. And I want to keep walking with Christ closer than ever. I want to deepen that relationship with Jesus. I want to know Him better. And I just want to keep growing. And I want to keep growing. And I want to keep growing. To where when the rapture occurs, Paul's like, man, I want it to just kind of be the next natural step in my progression of growth with Jesus Christ. And if I could illustrate the stairs here, his idea is that, man, I just want to grow. And I want to be stretched. And I want to grow and be stretched. And I want to grow and be stretched. Keep growing in my relationship until finally I see Him face to face and I just kind of just take the next natural step of growth and I'm with Jesus and I'm like Jesus completely. That's the idea. You just keep growing. You keep pressing forward. That's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen because you choose to learn from the past and not live in it. It's going to come because you forget those things which are behind. You're not going to let enemies of your soul come and drag you down and shackle you to the past or shackle you to this or that or their own agenda. Me players, I'm not going to let them drag me down. I'm going to keep growing until Jesus comes. I'm going to keep growing, keep being stretched. At the end of 2013, you ought to be able to look back and say, man, I have really grown. I have taken some strides in my growth. And I'm not really the same person. I don't have the same attitudes, the same outlook. I'm a different person than I was at the beginning of the year. Why? Because I stretched. I just got taken out of my comfort zone. I grew. In your handout, let me give you that last statement. It says, until that day, Paul wanted to keep growing so that when he was ushered into the very presence of Christ, it would be just the next natural step in his growing relationship with Christ. Let's be stretched. Let's grow this year. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes.